You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here. American Family Insurance can help protect your dream home for whatever comes next. You can live in your own oasis or your own clubhouse. Whatever you choose, get the right coverage. Save up to 23% by bundling home and auto. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies. 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Murder. Ba-ba-da-ba. Welcome to Death Do Us Part podcast, hosted by my wife, Jamie.
Hello.
And myself, Mark. What up, y'all?
Hey.
Part deux.
Yeah, and I feel like we can blame you for the delay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know, because it's always my fucking fault.
Yeah.
It should be your fault this
time. Okay, well, it's my fault this time. Nothing happened, but there was a little delay. It took us a little while to get part two out.
I would just like to point out that I've been done with it.
You have been. Yeah. You have been. Dude, you've been on top of it, and you got the next couple already out.
Well, yeah, I got Pike County done.
You got
so
Pike County.
We're gonna do that next.
That is our next Patreon. People, sign up for Patreon. It's awesome episodes. www.patreon.com/ Is it forward slash or backward slash?
It's always forward slash.
Forward slash Death Do Us Part, the number one. The number numero uno.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So. Okay, so yeah, we'll blame it on me that it took a little time to get out. So we apologize.
We're going to do Pike County soon.
Yeah, so Pike County, we will get out soon. And like I said, it's going to be a Patreon.
And then we switched up a little. We were going to do Willie Picton next.
We were.
But
we
got you asked me to change it.
Yes, we got a good request. It's going to be a good one. And it's because is it still going on?
So or? Her...
Why don't you just say who it is?
So we're doing Karen Reed and John O'Keefe, which if you know, if you're into true crime, you know what's going on. Her second trial was supposed to start in January, and I honestly don't know if it has. I didn't look yet. It was supposed to start like end of January.
Okay.
I know they just made a decision to allow a cell phone expert to testify.
Oh, really?
So it's good for the defense, not so good for the prosecution.
Oh.
So,
and you said you swing. I don't know anything about it. So, I just kind of heard a little bit of the details when I got the request. It sounds awesome. You know, I love the cop ones.
Yeah.
Those are my favorite ones.
Her defense is there's a conspiracy theory against her.
Right.
From Boston PD.
But you say, like, there's no in between.
You either support her or you don't.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And so I'm interested to see which way I'm going to swing.
I don't even know which way I'm swinging anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
What were you at first, can I ask?
I'll tell you later.
Okay.
I don't...
All right. Another time, another place.
I don't know. The more I look into it, the more I'm like... I think I know what happened, and I think everybody else knows what happened.
Yeah.
But, like, now they're so far deep into the conspiracy theory thing, like...
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's... Yeah, I'm very excited to hear it. I gotta say, I'm very excited.
Yeah.
And I'm a little bit excited because I am now a volunteer peer counselor.
This is very cool for you.
So, I am going to be doing Joliet PD... And I am teaming up with another former Riverdale detective who was involved in
a very hard shooting.
Personal shooting.
Yes.
If you look up Riverdale PD, Illinois, and look up in line of duty deaths, you could read it because I'm not going to get into it. And it was a mess.
Yeah.
but his partner
was shot execution style.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And his partner, I'm not going to say his name because he didn't give me permission yet.
No.
But we're teaming up and we are going to be peer counselors. He's already doing it in Lake County, Indiana.
And he's just, he's a good guy.
He's a good guy.
Easy to talk to, you know? So I could see him doing that.
Yeah. So we're teaming up with a therapist who was a former Chicago police officer too. So, I mean, this is great. This is going to get me out of the house.
Yeah.
I think maybe this is my second calling. So
maybe it could be.
I've been writing to different police departments, seeing if I can talk, you know, and it almost be like an AA meeting, like a round table, you know, but someone to talk to, someone to vent to.
And I mean, we know as well as anybody else, first responders, it's easier to talk to another fucking first responder.
But here's the thing. It's only going to be for police because.
Okay, but I'm saying in general.
Yeah, but
we have similar demons, but
different stories,
right?
So
different aspects of it.
Exactly. Yeah. So we're only going to be open to police,
which is, I mean,
yeah.
But like I said, I mean, we get asked all the time. Cops get asked all the time, "How many people have you shot?"
Right.
We get asked, what's the worst thing you've ever seen?
Right.
We don't want to talk about it
with other people.
You know, they want to hear the blood, guts, and glory. They don't want to hear about the demons. And
right.
We don't want to talk about our demons with people who don't know about it.
Exactly. Who have not stepped in our shoes.
Right.
And, you know, and the stories are, yeah.
Right. Because,
wow.
I mean, we see things on a daily basis that normal people don't see ever in their life and shouldn't see ever.
No, you know, for example, like my mom is like, oh my God, you know, there was a robbery the other day.
Oh, your mom.
But like, mom, do you realize I went on, I averaged 3 to 4 armed robberies a day that I would have to go on to.
You know
what I mean?
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like,
we averaged, 2 to 3 people shot a week?
A robbery's nothing.
Exactly.
And I say that from our aspect, not from obviously the people getting robbed. But
right.
It's just, it's different.
But it's very different. So, but I'm very excited. I just found out I got the call from Joliet PD that they're going to allow me to do it. It's going to be sometime in April. Thank you very much. You know, you told me you were very proud of me, and I can't tell you how much that means.
No, I am. I'm very proud of you.
Yeah, I can't tell you how much
it's a big deal because talking about it in general.
It's hard.
You and I are from the generation where you push it down.
Yeah.
You don't talk about it. You push it down. You deal with it by booze like a normal adult.
Right.
And you don't talk about it. That's just how it is. And that's why people our age and a little bit older are dying of fucking heart attacks.
Right.
You know?
And suicides.
So there's been 3 CPD officers.
Yeah.
In the last, I mean, couple weeks.
Yeah.
One was 27.
Yep.
So
it gets to you.
Yeah.
People just don't understand the stress.
Mm-mm.
The demons, man. The demons fucking get you.
Yeah. They do. They do.
But I just had to throw that out there. I'm very excited to do that. I think this might be my second calling, hopefully.
I think it's
going
to be
great.
That's
what I'm hoping that it is.
I think it's going to be great.
You know, maybe this is why I was given a second chance to help others. You know, I was able to write the book, and I think the book helped a lot of people. You know, I got good reviews on it.
You did.
But I think this being in person, talking, you know, getting everything out, letting people,
I think
know,
it'll be as therapeutic for you as it will be.
Oh,
for
I think it will be
people.
Too. I'll be able to get my stresses out too. So I 100% agree with you.
You fuckers drank all my pop.
I took one sip.
You're a lion sack of shit.
No, ask Jax. I took one
sip.
Oh,
because he's going to, okay.
I have my coffee. I just needed a different flavor in my mouth.
No. You guys drink all
my wet mouth.
No, shut up.
People know I have a wet mouth. All right, so today is part 2.
Yeah, so I'm gonna recap like the end of part 1.
Yeah. Why don't we just... Oh, by the way, why didn't the skeleton go on the roller coaster?
Oh my God.
He didn't have the guts.
Really? Oh my God.
I hate to throw that out there.
So, hang on. I got to text work back.
Oh.
So the Super Bowl was last night.
Yeah.
Right? I didn't.
Go Eagles, by the way. I'm sorry, all you Chiefs fans.
I just like the coach of the Chiefs. He's like everybody's grandpa.
Andy Reid, yeah. Like, he totally
he just
is.
He looks like a grandpa, you know?
He totally does.
That's why.
Yeah, he totally does. So. But go Eagles. I'm sorry, Chiefs fans, but I did not want the three-peat. I wanted Philly to win. So congratulations. And to you Kansas City folks, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, not sorry, but... Oh, well. And then next year, go Bears.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Go Bears.
Jax and I had this whole fucking discussion in the car about why, like, we think the Bears suck.
Because they do.
Because they keep getting, like...
They did a good job with their coaching staff.
Well, they keep getting, like, these great prospects. But, like, they're throwing them to the wolves.
Yeah, they are.
He's standing behind you making faces at me. they throw them to the wolves. They don't, like... There's no veterans for them to, like, look up to and be behind or anything like that, you know?
Say hi, Jax.
Hi.
So.
Jax said hi if you couldn't hear that.
Yeah. So, like, they're throwing these fucking new guys to the wolves and they got nobody to look up to and shit, you know? Yeah.
Now, Jax, you gotta leave because we're gonna be talking death, murder, mm-hmm. destruction.
Can I what?
Can you scratch his back?
Are you fucking kidding me? Go away.
All right.
Oh, my God.
Love you, buddy. Oh, he's so awesome. Baseball is going to be starting. I'm excited to see him play.
By the way.
Yeah.
Like, when he sent me a text last night.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, yeah.
He told me he wants to go back to football. Yep. The Super Bowl got him that itch back.
He's text and I was like, oh.
Yep. He's like, Dad, I just needed a break from it, and I'm ready to play again, and I want to play next year, but I want to play baseball, too. I'm like, buddy, play both of them. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
So, but he has evaluations on Sunday, and he'll be placed on a team.
Oh, it's Sunday?
For baseball, yeah. So,
oh, yeah. Okay.
So I'll be taking him there, so I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm very excited.
I was pretty excited about the...
Yeah, when he told me that, and he's like, I just texted Mom, too. I'm like, mm-hmm. Okay, it's serious.
Yep. Oh, when he tells me.
When he tells you, I know it's serious. So, yeah. So, all right. Why don't we jump in? Why don't you do a quick recap.
Yeah. October 93, Bruce Pryor goes into the Belanglo Forest looking for firewood. He always does it, but now, like, there could be bodies there.
Right.
After they said
there's nothing.
Chance.
Yeah.
Okay. So he ends up finding a fucking skull, and he's afraid that no one would believe him. So he grabs the skull and wraps it in a piece of cloth and takes it with him. Because
at least he did that.
No, fuck you! Don't do. Why are you doing that? Why are you grabbing the skull?
Why are you grabbing it? But at least he put it in a fucking. At least he wrapped it
up. Do you
up.
Think he was like with a pencil in the eyeball? Like
that's what we would do with bullets.
Well, I know. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, do you think he was like nah? So a half an hour later, he contacted police. Two of them showed up. They ended up finding another body 120 feet away from where he found the skull. And hang
on. Work is really blowing you up. What the fuck is going on?
I don't know. We're all getting shifted.
Yeah, you're changing shifts, huh?
No.
Oh, you don't have to?
I threw a fit. I'm
okay.
Like, I... Because, you know, so we work every third day.
Yeah.
You plan literally your
year. You plan your life.
You plan your year around this shift. So I plan around black shift and red shift, banking on getting forced.
Right.
So my part-time job is gold shift. Like, I have appointments scheduled for me and the kids. And, like, I can't change. In a week?
The smell is my dip bottle, by the way.
They wanted me to change in a week. I was
no.
like, so I have to change
Fuck
the
that.
Next 6 months in a week?
Yeah, that's bullshit. No.
I didn't
no,
even,
thank
you know what? I will say though, the supervisor who we get along now.
Yeah.
I told him, I said, I can't go to gold. I said, I have my job and my life planned around black shift.
Right.
He told me to speak with somebody above him, who I did. And that person was like, well, they figured out, not me. 2 minutes later, I get a text from the loan supervisor. He's like, all right, we moved shit around. He's like, you're staying on black.
Okay.
But I am moving stations.
Oh.
I'm going back to 46.
The nice one, though, right?
Well, it's station one.
The one on LaGrange?
No. Yeah, off LaGrange?
Yeah.
My original one.
Okay, okay.
And my partner's going to be Tink.
Tink, Tink? You're getting Tink back?
Yeah, that's what's going to end up happening, is I'm going to end up with Tink. But
oh, well, that's cool.
I don't want to leave my partner now.
I know. She's like, so awesome.
She walked back into the bunk room, and she's like, what's wrong? I was like, they're moving me. And she was like, what?
Oh.
Why? And I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah. Leave me alone. I don't want to talk about it. I'm sorry about that. That kind of sucks. But at least you're getting a good replacement.
Yeah, until he gets fucking hired somewhere else.
Yeah, true. True.
So, all right, let me send this.
Yeah, send that so we can continue.
Shut up.
Continue. Still texting. All right. Sorry.
Jesus fuck. Okay. So they end up finding another body 120 feet away.
Yeah.
Both bodies are not complete skeletons. So they bring in a forensic odontologist. Remember the teeth one?
Yeah.
Which is not such a big
thing. It's not popular anymore.
Well, it's not. Same thing. And I think I said this in part one. Same thing with hair. Like, they're not so reliable. Yeah,
it's very popular
anymore.
That's
how Ted Bundy was convicted.
Right.
Was bite marks.
Yes, he was.
So the first skeleton had a silver fob chain, a bracelet, a crucifix, and the second one had white sneakers on their feet. When they compared the dental records of one, it was a positive match to James Gibson.
Mm.
So that led them to assume that the other skeleton was Deborah Evers.
Okay.
But they were trying to figure out how Gibson's property got to the complete other side of Sydney.
Yeah.
They found his stuff leaning up against a guardrail in plain sight.
Yeah.
So they're thinking maybe it was to divert attention from the forest. So Jamie ended up, and you see this kind of becomes like a marker. He had a stab to the mid-thoracic spine, which would have paralyzed him.
Oh, Jesus.
He had two stabs to the chest. And these are skeletons, so there could be so many more wounds
Didn't know.
They just know about these because it's hitting the bone.
Exactly.
There were two stab wounds to the chest, two to the upper back, and the breastbone wounds for him were similar in size to that of Walters and Clark when they were found. Deborah had several skull fractures at the back of her head, so she was obviously beat with something.
Right.
And there were four slash marks to her forehead, and you got to figure they were far enough down
to get the skull.
To hit the skull so they could see him. And one stab wound to the lower back.
Mm, man.
30 feet from Deborah was a black bra with a stab wound through it and gray tights that were tied. So they think they were used possibly as a restraint.
Okay.
Superintendent Clive Small, deputized by the Commissioner of Police, was to take control of the investigation. His first task was to combine the small groups of detectives into one cohesive group, which is huge because you guys don't work well together.
No, not at all.
You just don't.
No.
Unless you're part of a task force. Yeah, then you do.
But other than that, no.
So this is the one they were supposed to title the task force, Task Force Air, but it was supposed to be EYR.
Right.
After a small leg.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, my last patient.
Yeah.
Stubborn old fucking Irish lady.
Yeah.
I was like, Grandma. It's like, my nana. And Laura's like, so you? And I was like, yeah.
Shut up. Right.
So they set up this public hotline. They felt that was going to be their most valuable resource of quote unquote real evidence versus circumstantial evidence that they had already collected.
Yeah.
The examination of the forest was called off for several days, so maps and surveys of the area could be looked at to plan a grid search of the general area. So it was like, everybody get the fuck out. Stop touching stuff. Let's regroup and redo this.
Yeah.
Because obviously what we thought before is not the case.
Not correct.
Yeah. So then they brought in cadaver dogs from the United States, actually.
Oh, really?
So these dogs were used in the United States to find Civil War graves. So
what?
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week.
Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Life's better with American Family Insurance. Because we know in making the most of your home, DIY doesn't just stand for do it yourself. It also means dream it yourself. And we're here to help protect the dreams you're building. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
No, they can sniff out the dead.
Whoa.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
How cool is that?
So then they found bullets and shell casings that were positively identified as being from a Ruger repeating rifle.
Mm-hmm.
Total side note.
Yeah.
This is bad. And I'm not going to say how and why. I got to play with a shotgun the other day.
What? What?
So I'm holding this thing, and it's really hard for it not to feel like an extension of your penis. Like, even as a girl. And then the person was like, well, cock it. And I was like, no. And he's like, you have to. And I did, and I was like, I have a boner. I have a raging fucking boner that I cannot walk with. This is why people have shotguns.
Oh, yeah.
Goddamn.
They're badass.
You can't feel like a fucking wiener.
Right.
While you're holding this fucking shotgun.
Right.
And then when you cock the shotgun, you're like, that's why people run.
Yeah. That's why
they hear that and that's why they run.
Hell yeah.
I'm just like, I need to slap somebody in the face with my fucking boner right now. This is ridiculous. Yeah.
That's funny.
I kind of want a shotgun now.
We should get one.
I'm not going to lie. It's, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Anyways. This type of gun, this Ruger repeating rifle, 50,000 of them were imported to Australia between 1964 and 1982. So there's not a ton of them there.
Mm-hmm.
Manufacturers provided a list of distributors who then provided a list of shops that they sold them to.
Oh.
So they were able to almost track a lot down.
Wow. Okay. Kind of like the ATF does for us.
And they could get to a point, but there was no required list for private sellers, just through, you know, gun shops and shit.
Right.
A list of residents owning such weapons was made with the intention of impounding them for a test fire. This was unfortunately leaked to the press,
mm-hmm.
which screwed everything up because now they believe that the killer would dump the weapon.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously.
Of course. Yeah.
Now, members of a local gun club were contacted to have their weapons examined. And these guys were like, yeah, my dudes, check them.
Go ahead.
Like, here, you know, we're good. We're legal. We're doing it like we're supposed to. So,
yeah.
One member, though, told a detective that a friend of his had witnessed something, quote unquote, suspicious. The Belanglo Forest the previous year. So they get a hold of this guy, and he gives an incredibly detailed description of two vehicles and the occupants in the vehicles.
Ooh.
The first one was a Ford sedan, and the second one was a four-wheel drive vehicle. In the first vehicle, there was a man driving with two men in the back seat with a female in between them, and there was a cloth around her head like a gag.
Ooh.
The second one had a man driving and also a man in the backseat with a female who appeared to be bound.
Damn.
He gave detailed descriptions of the occupants, including clothing, coloring, and approximate aging. I didn't write down the description because it was a lot.
Yeah.
But he did write down the number plate, so the license plate.
Good job.
The second vehicle on a piece of cardboard. Don't say good job. You'll find out why.
Oh, okay.
On a piece of cardboard, but has since lost the cardboard.
Oh, what the fuck.
So police typed up an official statement, and he agreed and signed it, Alex Malott.
Oh.
Hmm. Who happens to be the brother of Ivan Malott.
No shit.
What are those assholes doing?
Getting into the, I don't know, bags or something. They're fucking assholes.
The curtain. One's behind the curtain, one's in front of the curtain, and they're hitting each other through the curtain. This is what they're doing.
They're fucking assholes, I swear to God.
They're fucking idiots. Hunter's hiding behind the curtain.
Yeah.
And Wrecker's like, fuck you, I'm done.
That's awesome.
God damn these fucking kids. So, 26 days later,
yeah,
police were now entering the final gridded section to be searched.
So you said it was his brother. I'm sorry, I missed
it's his
that.
Brother. Okay. Yes, it's Ivan Milat's brother.
Okay.
They were confident that no other bodies would be found. Again, why the confidence when you still have, like, they have their own group of people looking for missing hitchhikers.
Right.
Why do you think you're not going to find anybody?
Yeah.
Didn't you learn the first fucking time you said
mm-hmm.
that?
Mm-hmm. Probably just saying. Not.
They were already compiling a press release. They found a pair of pink jeans and some rope, but didn't think anything of it.
Oh.
Because, you know, a lot of strange shit were found.
Yeah,
so,
you know. Okay.
Whole pair of pink jeans. If I had pink jeans, I would not be leaving them in a forest.
No. No.
I kind of need a pair of pink jeans.
Dude, pink jeans? Just, are you kidding me?
No, like, that'd be fucking awesome. That's what I'm saying. I wouldn't leave them bitches in the forest.
No.
Pink jeans are coming with me.
Fuck that.
Yeah. So, however, around the pink jeans, they came across a primitive fireplace.
Oh, the fireplace again.
Blair Witch vibes.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, my partner said when she loves scary movies,
mm-hmm.
but she likes religious scary movies.
Oh, yeah.
Which, she said she watched Blair Witch and threw up.
Threw up?
And then watched Event Horizon.
Yeah.
Which is like, allegedly they go to space and find like the portal to hell.
Oh, no shit.
She said it was so realistic, she threw up.
Oh, my God.
Again, a total side note. I apologize. My meds will kick in shortly.
Yeah.
She ordered smash burger last night for dinner. Have you ever had smash burger?
Smash burgers are good.
Okay, but you know you can get a side of Brussels sprouts?
No.
Holy shit.
Good?
Oh my God.
Really?
They come in a fucking fry container and it's like, not fried, it's like baked, like seasoned fucking Brussels sprouts.
Oh, that sounds good.
Sweet Jesus.
Yeah, that actually sounds pretty good.
We buy each other
good.
Lunch and dinner. Like, one shift. Yeah. It's like, if she's driving, she buys. If I'm driving, I buy. We don't know why. We order each other smoothie bowls in the morning, and then we figure out dinner later on at night.
Right.
But the Brussels sprout, oh my God. So
no
fucking
shit.
Good. Yeah. Anyways. So, they then found a large bone inside of a leather hiking boot, along with a skull and a purple headband.
Oh, boy.
While comparing it to the missing persons reports, they saw that it was similar in description to Simone Schmeidel.
Simone Schmeidel.
Yeah. She was then positively identified with dental records. It appeared that she had numerous stab wounds to the front and back, both on the left and right side, with the now quote-unquote telltale stabs to the spinal area.
Yeah.
Severed her spinal cord completely.
Oh,
so he's paralyzing
God.
These
yeah,
people.
Yeah, he is.
And then torturing them.
Dude.
Because they also estimate that these stabs to the spinal cord to sever their spinal cord and paralyze them was like one of the initial stabs.
Oh, my
before
God.
He ends up killing them completely.
Could you imagine that?
Yeah. You can't get anywhere.
Oh, that's mm-hmm. terrible.
Oh, it gets worse. Simone's parents found out on the radio.
Oh, dude.
So then they contacted German police for confirmation because Australia had already confirmed via dental records. But the German police would not positively ID her body until 2 weeks after Simone's remains had been flown home and buried.
Really?
What you doing, Germany?
Wow.
What are you doing?
Wow.
Yeah. So the original press release was obviously aborted and a new one was done in its place.
Yeah.
It basically said that they now expect to find more bodies in the woods. No.
You don't
come
say.
On.
You don't say.
Come on.
Right.
Come on, guys.
Get your shit together.
Speculation was now that the next two found would be that of the two Germans not accounted for.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those pink jeans became significant.
Mm.
While going through the missing persons reports to check Simone's description, they realized that Anya Habschied, I believe is how you say it, had been wearing pink jeans when she was last seen.
And the cat's got scared or are fighting again.
November 4th of 1993, as the examination of Simone's skeleton was being completed, two more graves were found. Oh. These graves were 150 feet apart. They had the dental records for Gabor Neugebauer, but not for Anya.
Yeah.
Gabor was partially covered by a large log, and it took seven quote-unquote burly officers to lift it away.
Burly.
Underneath it, they found decaying clothing. Excuse me. And in the skull, the mouth had two gags. One was in it, and one was tied across the top.
Oh, jeez.
The size of the gags and stuff made strangulation very likely, yeah, along with a broken hyoid bone, which is the number one indicator.
Right.
The jaw was fractured in several places, and there were six bullet holes to the skull. Three Jesus. To the left rear and three to the bottom rear.
Dude, what the fuck, yeah, man?
There was one exit wound to the right, four in the skull, one in the upper body. And it appeared that this person was not killed at the gravesite, so they're assuming this is Gabor. Anya was found with her head and her first two vertebrae missing. The angle suggested that she had been kneeling when her head was cut off.
Oh, my God.
No other wounds were found.
How terrible. Mm-hmm.
Over 90 fired casings were found in the area. And after examination, the bullets and the casings were the same as those found at the Walter site. It was also estimated that the same weapon was used 200 feet from Anya and Gabor's remains.
Yeah.
On November 5th, 1993... the reward increased from $100,000 to $500,000.
Whoa.
This matched the previous highest reward for info on a major crimes in New South Wales.
Wow.
That's
a big reward.
Now, you will come to find out that somebody is actually eligible to get said reward.
Really? I think I...
And turned it down.
Oh.
Turned it down.
No shit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So...
Wait to hear this.
So all seven... had been killed in various ways.
Yeah.
There were beatings, strangulations, stabbings, and decapitations. They believe that almost all were certainly sexually molested in some way, both male and female victims.
God.
Due to the various methods and extent of injuries, the investigation team assumed that the killer or killers spent more time with the victims as the crimes progressed. Almost like he got ballsy.
Yeah.
As he was going along. Apart from being cruel and sadistic, the killer was a calculating and confident person. This made it very difficult to narrow down the suspect list. The volume of calls from concerned citizens swamped the task force with information. And at this point, various independent reports had led the police to develop suspicions about the Malat family.
Ooh.
In particular, Ivan. However, there was no firm evidence linking him.
Right.
The huge international media interest really served its purpose, though. So, at the headquarters, thousands of calls poured in weekly, but two calls were of particular interest. One was from a woman who claimed her boyfriend worked with a man she thought should be checked out.
Yeah.
He owned property near the forest and drove a four-wheel drive vehicle and owned a lot of guns.
Oh,
his name was Ivan Malat.
Go figure.
The second was from Joanne Burry. She described picking up a man after he was attacked. The man was Paul Onions. All calls had to be recorded and entered into an extensive computer database.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, shortly after that, on November 13th, 1993, Paul Onions contacted Australian High Commission about an incident that happened to him in 1990. He was given the task force hotline number. And after telling the officer who answered the details, he was asked why he hadn't reported it.
Yeah.
He said he had. But instead of asking for details, he was hung up on.
Oh, what the fuck?
He didn't hear anything back and felt his report was of no value and tried to clear his mind.
Yeah.
So when he tried to initially report it, they were like, uh-huh, and hung up on him.
Dude, you got to do better than that.
Especially because Paul Onions is the one who legitimately cracks this entire fucking case.
No shit.
He's the only survivor.
Oh, man.
Well, I mean, the two girls from earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
So his story is on January 25th, 1990, he was in Australia from the United Kingdom backpacking. He was hitchhiking from Liverpool towards Mildura. and had accepted a ride south out of Casula from a man named Bill. South of Mittagong, just towns, obviously, which was less than 1 kilometer from the Belongla Forest, Bill pulled out a revolver and a rope to rob onions. Paul managed to get out and flee while Bill shot at him, running down the street.
Whoa.
Yeah. Onions flagged down a passing motorist whose name was Joanne Burry of Canberra. She had her sister and 4 kids in the car, but could see the terror on his face after watching what happened.
Right.
She slammed on her brakes. He threw up in the side door of the van and jumped in screaming, "He's got a gun, help me." She lets him in. She flips a Huey and goes to go to the nearest police station in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
She saw a man running to a car with something in his hand and slammed on the gas to get the fuck out of there, pretty much.
Good job, yeah.
And when they reached the Mittagong station, it was closed.
What?
So they drove to the next town, which is Bowral, and relayed the story to Constable Janet Nicholson at the front desk. Paul described his attacker, the vehicle, and the backpack he had left in the car.
Mm.
This backpack had his passport and his return ticket to England.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. So,
oh, wow.
Constable Nicholson circulated a description of the man and the vehicle via radio and gave Paul $20 and told him to return to, you know, the station.
Yeah.
So she also told him, though, that without actual registration numbers, they had little chance of locating the vehicle. When he returned to Sydney, he went to the British High Commission to get his passport replaced and additional funds. He got his passport, but no cash. The lady behind the counter gave him $20 because she felt bad for him. Is that them?
Yeah, the cats are fucking talking to each other now.
That's fucking weird.
Yeah, I know. They're like, yeah, you're a bitch. No, you're a bitch.
Yeah, you know that's you know that's what they're saying to each other.
Right.
Come on, you fucker.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's
so
funny.
He ended up staying in Australia for a bit.
Yeah.
Worked a little while. When he returned home, he tried to settle into normal life, but really had, like, a lot of trouble sleeping. He had a string of weird illnesses. Like, he obviously had PTSD.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. Now, on November 17th of 1993, the official search of the forest was suspended. In December of 1993... the investigation was not progressing at what would be considered an acceptable rate, and thousands of calls received over the hotline produced a list of 2,000 persons of interest.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yikes.
Yeah. These were people that callers had suggested did the murders or had knowledge of. Now, the volume of the data ended up overloading the system.
You think?
Which was called TIMS, Task Force Information Management System. And it was made up of multiple databases, but they were unable to cross-reference more than a single inquiry. Yeah. So it's, you know, the system was not designed to handle the volume and the complexities of what they needed.
Mm.
So the team decided that a new program would be needed. And while crossing over systems, all new incoming and data and previous data that had not been processed by the system earlier would have to be processed by hand.
Oh, wow.
Every
that
file
sucks.
Had to be read, assessed, and set aside to be entered into the appropriate section of the database at a later time.
Oh, that sucks.
One file came to the attention of the team because of the unusual last name, Onions. Mm. They read the report and added it to the quote-unquote lead file for further attention. Several weeks later, a similar report was found, Joanne Burry's statement.
Mm.
They also filed that for further attention. Now, after the new year, 37 detectives were working full-time on the investigation, and their main focus was tracking down firearm and ammunition used in the offense. Two new detectives were given the task of following up on a file that contained 3 separate leads. The name on the file was Malat.
Ooh.
Lynn Butler and Paul Douglas interviewed people from the file and confirmed earlier statements.
Yeah.
The third one was about the boyfriend working with Malat, didn't give a name though. So they went to the company that they had the name of, it was called ReadyMix, to ask about Malat.
Yeah.
They discovered that both Richard and Ivan Milat had worked there at one time. Ivan was a hard worker and highly respected, and Richard was deemed crazy and unpredictable. So now they're leaning kind of towards Richard.
Yeah.
However, Richard's time cards matched up. He was working on every disappearance date.
Well,
Ivan, however, was off for everyone.
Ooh.
He was fast becoming their prime suspect, and they were told to get, quote, more evidence.
Yeah.
When searching the criminal records, they found that Ivan had been found. Ooh, I got yawned.
Oh, my God, you're yawning.
Oh. Ivan had been found guilty of various offenses and had served several years in prison, but nothing indicated that he would be a serial killer. But then they found the 1971 rape accusation by the two girls, which had a large knife and a rope.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they now wanted to request house and car wiretaps. He refused, and the laws are stricter in Australia than anywhere else taps.
Yeah.
They can only be used when all other methods of acquiring evidence had been exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
But they would need them to investigate and eliminate any other suspects.
Yeah.
So days later, four detectives were assigned to work full-time following up on the Milat leads and arranged for a surveillance team that they called the, quote, dog squad, to follow Milat and watch his house.
The dog squad. Mm-hmm.
They began interviewing, checking, and cross-checking statements and amassing evidence. This would occupy them for the next several months.
Oh, I can believe it.
Small started to assemble a team of experts to examine motives and, quote, state of mind of the type of person that would commit these crimes. They wanted these opinions to enhance and support the evidence. So Dr. Rod Milton was essential. And then Dr. Richard Basham.
Okay.
Did I write that? So, Basham was the dean of anthropology at Sydney University,
mm-hmm.
but he was an American who had helped police before.
Oh.
And he did psychological anthropology.
That's something I haven't heard of.
Which is why I wrote down what it was, because I figured you hadn't.
Yeah.
Because I've never heard of it. It's where he studies the relationship between cultural and mental processes. So nature versus nurture.
Yeah.
He focuses on how an individual's thoughts, feelings, and motivations are influenced by culture and how culture is influenced by individuals.
Oh, that's interesting.
They study identity, memory, emotion, motivation, mental illness, trauma, gender, and sexuality.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That is interesting.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
They were to study and review every shred of evidence from the beginning.
Yeah.
Now, the superintendent wanted them to go door to door to do a survey, but these guys disagreed, saying that the person or the weapon that had already been mentioned was probably, like, they probably knew.
Oh, already. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Now, Alex Milat's statements were brought up. Superintendent Small thought that Alex Milat possibly had a photographic memory. But Dr. Basham suggested that he might have been part of the events, allowing him to remember details.
Ooh.
They also believed that more than one person was involved.
Yeah.
Possibly brothers.
Oh, there you go.
And Dr. Milton agreed, saying, quote, "We could be looking for a group of brothers who spend their time in forests shooting cans and wounding animals and generally, quote, showing off with each other."
You're right.
Superintendent Small said, quote, "We have a family just like that on file."
You don't say.
Huh. Sometimes those profiles, man, are
I'm not totally for them, but
sometimes
they're on. Ugh. Yeah, they're on point.
Yeah. So Dr. Basham said to watch them closely and that one or more could be who they're looking for. Dr. Milton suggested that the killer may not live in the immediate vicinity, but would visit. But after studying the maps, they all decided the killer probably lived in an area to the north, close to the Hume Highway. They did. All the victims had been seen at or near Liverpool, and then the bodies were found in the Belanglo Forest. This strengthened their theory.
Yeah.
None of the experts knew of the police interest in the Mallott family. The name had not been mentioned. They had come a long way to build a case, but Small couldn't help but notice how close the family matched the theories.
Right.
So in March of 1994, the search for supportive evidence continued. The Mallott team obtained records of all the premises and vehicles owned by the family and found that they had owned a property 25 miles from Belanglo and that a silver Nissan Patrol was a four-wheel drive vehicle owned by Ivan that he had sold 2 months after the first bodies were found.
Ooh.
Shocking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They found the new owner who was like, yeah, take a look. Whatever.
Right. I got nothing to hide.
They ended up finding a bullet under the driver's seat.
Oh.
And it was a .22 caliber bullet consistent with the empty boxes in one of the search areas casings found at the Clark and Walter gravesites.
Yeah, that's a good find right there. Oh, man, you're thirsty.
My sugar's high.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I got a bowl.
You doing okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. It's like comfortable high, you know.
So. Yeah.
Except I'm just thirsty. So they had nothing to tie all the evidence together, though. Now, this new system was up and running, and it was good, but it wasn't good enough.
Mm-hmm.
So these guys started going through the reports by hand, and not all of them they found had been entered into the database. So again, on April 13th, 1994, they found the note regarding Paul Onion's call to the hotline. Again, they found his random note.
Yeah.
They all realized that this guy could give them the link that they needed.
Boom.
So they called for the original report from Bowral Police, and it was missing from the files.
What?
But.
Oh, my God.
The constable, a woman.
Ooh.
Had more than detailed notes in her notebook.
Oh, women love to take notes.
There were more details in her notes than in the original statement.
Damn.
Because a bitch likes to write.
You fucking A right.
Hence my 17,000 notebooks. Right. A bitch likes to write.
Right.
She is the only reason they were able to link it. Because obviously they're missing the report. And yeah. She's like, oh, let me
go through my notes.
Pull out my fucking notebook here.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And my planner.
I bet you that shit was in her fucking planner. You know it was tucked away somewhere in her fucking planner.
Oh,
she's
yeah.
Like, let me look back there.
Yeah, it probably was.
In a different color ink and, you know.
Yeah, of course. Green ink.
Yep. So with Richard and Ivan being similar in appearance, they checked both of their records. Richard was working. Ivan was not.
Mm-hmm.
They were working in the Gatson Gorge when James Gibson's backpack was found. So he just put it right there. You know?
Yeah.
friends told of Mallott's motorcycle and his arsenal of guns. And he had told a friend by the name of Sarah while they were passing the Belanglo Forest one day, quote, you wouldn't believe what's in there.
Oh,
but
man.
But he wouldn't elaborate. How many times have we driven past like Forest Preserve and you and I are like, how many bodies?
How many, dude, how many bones and skeletons and bodies.
Which, by the way, like, Jackson doesn't, like, he's you.
Yeah.
He's you. But every once in a while, something comes out and I'm like, whoop.
There's you.
There I am.
Yeah.
I want this giant fucking beanbag chair that can fit like 46 people.
Yeah.
I send it to the kids and they're like, oh yeah, that's great. That's great. And Jackson's first response was, You could fit a fucking body in there.
There you are.
There I am. Right there. Right there. Oh, he wants me to tell him about him combating bullies.
Oh,
so okay. He was on TikTok.
Yeah.
And this asshole starts making comments on his TikTok video. Yeah. You're never going to make it anywhere. You're corny, blah, blah, blah. Well, Leah hops on and she's like, fuck you, dude. Like, that's my brother.
Yeah.
This guy instant messages him. Yeah. On TikTok and tells him you're never going to make it anywhere, blah, blah, blah. And our son, my shining star,
yeah,
says, are you okay, dude? Is everything okay at home? Do you need to talk to somebody? And then sends him the fucking hotline number for the National Suicide Hotline.
Dude.
And I'm like, ah.
That's great.
There I am.
That's great.
Now, I will tell you.
Buddy, you got to go, though. We're talking about
murder. I will tell you. I told our doctor. We all see the same doctor.
Yeah.
She thought it was the greatest fucking thing in the world. She's like, no, that's right. That's how you fight them bullies. I was like, oh, God, he's a dick face like me. But, like, you don't know he's being a dick face.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Yeah. But he's like, are you okay?
Oh, is everything that's okay awesome. At home?
Yeah. There's my kid.
Dude, that is you. Yeah. That is you.
So at the end of April, an Australian detective contacted Paul Onions. They told him that he was going to be an important witness in the backpacker case. And could you please fly to Sydney ASAP? Now, Paul was super confused at this point because he thought that they didn't want to hear his story, you know, and didn't mean anything. But now he's considered a, quote, star witness.
Yeah.
He came back.
Whoa.
He came back. And he was terrified to come back because this guy has his backpack with his passport and his plane ticket and his address and, like, has everything about him. So,
yeah. Fuck yeah.
But he came back.
Good deal.
So a week later,
good deal.
He was being driven through Liverpool by police to, quote, get his bearings before being interviewed further.
Yeah.
Now, they quickly discovered at this point that at the time, the Hume Highway went through the center of town.
Yeah.
It had all changed. He pointed out where he escaped, which was less than a mile from the forest entrance. And the next day, he was shown a video lineup of suspects, and Paul Onions positively identified Ivan Milat.
Wow.
This was exactly what they needed.
Yeah.
There was now sufficient evidence to arrest Milat for the attack on Paul.
Good deal.
They applied for search warrants on Ivan's home, which was just off of Hume Highway, like they thought, a few miles from Liverpool.
Oh, yes.
Now, they realized on the premises, on the premise that Ivan did not act alone, they got warrants for his mother's and his brother's homes. Wow. The three brothers, Richard, Walter, and Bill.
Yeah.
And even Alex Milat.
There you go.
Who had moved hours away.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple raids were to be done simultaneously, and they were planned. There were over 300 police personnel involved, and most were not told of the location or timing until just before.
Yeah, that's good. It's usually how it happens.
The raid on Ivan's home was called Air One.
Mm-hmm.
And on May 22nd, 1994, the raid on Ivan's house was planned for 6:30 a.m. I almost just said 6:30.
Yeah.
They were to surround the home and contact him via phone. All went down.
Yeah.
They asked Ivan and his girlfriend, Hughes, to come out of the house. They were going to arrest him and search the house. At 6:36 a.m., police were in place, and they called the phone. Ivan denied being Ivan, confirmed the address, and then they told Ivan what was going to happen, and he hung up. Ivan mumbled that he needed to put pants on. Same dude.
Right.
And hung up. So, reluctant to storm the house because of his arsenal and his girlfriend, they kind of hung back a little bit. Now, Ivan thought it was a joke. But several minutes later, when he realized it was not a joke, him and his girlfriend came out. Ivan was arrested and told he'd be questioned about 7 bodies that were found.
Whoa.
And his response was, quote, I don't know what you're talking about.
Of course.
All the raids went well, with all the homes being searched simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
They found a postcard at Milat's house addressed to Bill, which was his alias with Paul Onions.
Yeah.
He said it was a friend, but it was a mistake. He denied owning firearms, which obviously is bullshit.
False.
They found a Bowie-style knife and an instruction manual for a Ruger 22 caliber rifle. Guns come with instruction manuals?
I think some of them, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm. So, they also found a holster and ammunition matching the Colt 45 handgun that Paul Onions had described.
Yeah.
There was also a picture of his girlfriend, Shalinda Landa Ding Dong.
Shalinda.
I don't know what the fuck her name was.
Shalinda Ding Ding Dong.
In a striped Benetton top that belonged to Carolyn Clark.
Oh, you bitch.
Can you imagine being that girl?
Oh.
I got a dead girl shirt on.
Yeah. Oh, that's
so... I had grody. A hard enough time with your sister's surgery.
Yeah.
With cadaver skin. And I'm like,
oh, yeah.
You're groping a dead booby.
Right? It's like,
you know, that's terrible.
I know.
That's all I could think of.
But it was
her husband's groping a dead booby.
Oh.
And then my partner the other day said he had a knee replacement and they used cadaver bone. I'm like, you have a dead guy bone in you.
Yeah, dude. Oh,
it creeps me the fuck out.
That would creep me out too. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if anyone like is in the same
predicament. And you know what? Like, I'm an organ donor. Take everything the fuck you want out of me.
Oh, yeah.
But this is why I can't get a pancreas transplant. I don't want a dead guy's pancreas.
Right.
What if it's like the movie where, like, I start having flashbacks of his life?
I know, right?
Oh, I can't.
That'd be so freaky.
I can't do it.
Yeah, I know. I don't blame you.
Why does that freak me out? Like, it shouldn't freak me out.
No, it freaks me out, too. Yeah, it freaks me out, too.
So, the police were unprepared for the amount of evidence that they found. They found a disassembled Ruger 22 rifle in the wall. Almost all of the missing camping gear from the hitchhikers.
No way.
An identical headband and a water bottle of Simone's, Carolyn Clark's camera, and a long curved cavalry sword at his mother's.
What?
This
onward
only makes me think of Step Brothers.
Oh yeah. It's signed by Randy Jackson.
Is that Randy Jackson.
Jackson's
signature? I came in at the ass end of that movie the other day at the firehouse.
Yeah.
And I was like, I have a Catalina wine mixer t-shirt. And the guy's like, of course you fucking do.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Of course.
He was arrested and charged with robbery and the attempted murder of Paul Onions.
Mm-hmm.
On May 23rd, 1994, he appeared in court but did not enter a plea. And on your birthday, May 31st, 1994, he was charged with the murders of the seven backpackers.
Wow.
On June 28th, 1994, he fired family attorney James Marsden after he told Ivan to plead guilty. So then he sought legal aid for his defense.
Yeah.
Between October 24th and December 12th of 1994, a committal hearing, which is almost like a grand jury over there.
Okay.
A committal hearing was held and over 200 witnesses testified.
Oh, holy fuck. Yeah. That's a long day.
Yeah. Yeah, the grand jury was like a month, almost 2 months.
Oh my God.
So it's similar, but kind of not the same.
Ugh.
In February of 1995, he was remanded in custody pending trial that was scheduled for June of 1995. This was delayed when his legal counsel fought over pay.
Yeah.
In March 26th of 1996, his trial opened at the Supreme Court of New South Wales in Sydney. Despite the overwhelming evidence against him, Mallott was confident he'd be found innocent, even telling a news reporter, quote, "My basic defense in my trial was that it wasn't me. I don't know who did it. It was up to them to prove my guilt, not for me to prove my innocence."
Yeah.
Which is correct. That's how it always works. The prosecution has to prove guilt. You don't have to prove your innocence.
Right.
But you got to do something.
Yeah. I was just going to say, like, dude, yeah, but something's got to be planned out.
It doesn't matter. He's one of those who thinks he's smarter.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, true.
The attorneys argued that there was no non-circumstantial proof that Mallott was guilty and attempted to shift the blame to the other members of his family, particularly Richard. Fuck you!
Yeah.
So, 145 witnesses testified.
My God.
And on June 18th, 1996, Mallott himself testified. On July 27th, 1996, after 18 weeks of testimony.
Oh, my God.
A jury found Ivan Mallott guilty of all the murders.
Wow.
He was given a life sentence with the possibility of parole on, or excuse me, without the possibility of parole on every count.
Wow.
The accounts were attempted murder, false imprisonment, and, or excuse me, in addition to the charges of attempted murder, false imprisonment, and robbery of Paul Onions, which he was given 6 years for each count.
Yeah.
Now, Richard and Walter Mallott were ultimately charged and tried.
Good.
For weapons charges, drug charges, stolen items, and all the shit that they found on their properties during
good.
The raid. Because they found
as
some of the murder victim stuff on their property.
Yeah, as they should.
So they, I don't know what their charges or what they were convicted, like sentenced to. But
okay.
On his first day in prison at Maitland Gaol, Malat was beaten by another inmate.
Good. Fucking A right, dude.
On May 16th, 1997, Malat tried to escape.
Oh, fucking dummy.
The plan failed, and the following day, the guy who he was trying to escape with was found hanging in his cell.
Oh, jeez.
Probably not self-inflicted.
No.
Malat was then transferred to a maximum security prison.
Good. Where he should have been in the first place.
In November of 1997, he appealed his convictions due to breach of common law right to legal representation.
Okay.
You fired your attorney.
Yeah.
You dumbass. This was dismissed by New South Wales Court of Criminal Appeal. So because of this, he swallowed razor blades, staples, and other metal objects.
Good, you dummy.
And they went, huh, we don't care.
Right. Sucks yeah, to be you.
Don't care. That, like, a hunger strike would have been easier.
Right.
My dude.
Right.
So, in 2004, he filed an application with the High Court of Australia that he be allowed special leave to appeal on new grounds. They dismissed that.
Good.
He was also interviewed for an Australian story where he denied any family involvement. Too late. They were already convicted. And on October 27th of 2005, his final appeal was refused.
Good.
In 2006 and 2011, three separate application attempts were rejected. And January 26th of 2009, he cut off his pinky with a plastic knife because he was going to mail it to the High Court to force an appeal.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
He was sent back from the hospital the following day, being told,
"You're an idiot."
Yeah, dummy. Now, in May of 2011, he did go on a 9-day hunger strike.
Did he really?
Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Oh, that reminds me of something else. He lost 55 pounds.
Yeah.
Do you want to know why he went on the hunger strike?
Why?
To get a PlayStation.
All right, I get it, dude. I get it. Yeah.
I read that and I was like, my kid would do that.
Right. Yeah. I get it, dude. MLB The Show and Madden. Yeah, I get it.
But 55 pounds in 9 days?
That's a lot. That's a lot, like, dude.
Fuck, dude. What were you eating?
Right.
It reminds me of The Devil Wears Prada, where she's like, I'm one stomach flu away from my goal weight. Go on a hunger strike. You'll be fine. So in May of 2019,
mm-hmm.
couldn't have happened to a better person, Ivan Milat was diagnosed with terminal esophageal cancer.
Good, 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 good.
Just 6 months later, on October 27th at 4:07 a.m., Ivan Milat died in prison.
Oh, wah, poor wah. Baby. Poor guy.
So that is a story of Ivan Milat. Now, Paul Onions.
Yeah.
Was asked, are you going to collect the reward?
Yeah.
Because realistically speaking,
he's entitled
his
to
information
it.
Led to the arrest of it.
Yeah.
He declined it.
Really?
He said he didn't want it.
What?
That he was doing what he thought was right and he came back.
He's a better person than me.
Make it out to Mr. Paul Onions.
Yes. Yes.
He declined.
MR period.
Right.
Right. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, that was good. That was a good request. So thank you guys for requesting that. Jamie, thank you for digging so deep.
I finally saw a picture of him.
He's
Jackson. He's like,
yeah, I posted him too.
Are we fucking related to this guy? And I looked and I was like, no.
No, he looks like a schmuck.
He's like, Malat, and I was like, oh, we're sure not related to him.
Right.
Yeah. But I only saw like an old picture of him.
Yeah. I posted an old one and a new one.
Yeah.
So, but that was good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Guys, our next episode is going to be the Pike County.
And it is fucked.
Yeah.
I told you a little bit about it. Oh, yeah. You didn't know anything about it.
I didn't know anything about it. So sign up for Patreon. Patreon, you guys are in for it, man. It's going to be a good one. We'll get it out fairly soon. We won't wait too long. Today is Monday. Yeah. Maybe the weekend?
No. We'll get it. We'll get part one out before then.
Oh, it's going to be a two-parter?
I think it's going to be. I'm almost positive it's going to be.
Okay.
But I will make you. Like, we will record both parts in one day.
Okay.
And get it out.
Okay.
It's going to be a two-parter.
It's going to be a two-parter.
It's going
to
be a
two-parter. Just to be on the safe side.
It'll be a two-parter. You know. Because there's a lot.
Yeah, that's fine.
Because it's fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't want to... You know,
Karen Reed will definitely
be a two-parter.
Be two parts.
Oh, wow.
Already.
Okay.
Just based off the timeline that I'm writing.
Oh, really?
It's going to be, the timeline will be one fucking part on its own.
Wow.
And then eyewitness testimony will be fucking part two.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, guys, I hope you enjoyed this. Please like, follow, and subscribe. Patreon, sign up. Like I said, www.patreon.com/deathdoaspart, the number one.
Not O'Neater's.
We say that every fucking
time. I have not. I have refrained from saying
it. I know.
I haven't said it in a long time.
We used to say it every fucking time.
I know. I really just want to watch that movie.
Yeah.
And then
it's a great movie.
Laura and I were talking about Romy and Michelle the other day.
Yeah.
Because I said something. I was like, fuck off, Toby. And she was like, oh, you know that movie? And I was like, you know that movie? Yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, you guys are going to miss each other.
I hate it.
Being partners.
Like, I miss her kids already.
Yeah.
I got to show you the picture of her dog. She got her dog's new raincoats.
Oh.
Oh, my God. All of her dogs have, like, people names.
Oh, that's cool.
So, she just, Bob was the one she just had to put down.
Oh.
And the two that got new raincoats are Saul and Mickey.
Oh, I like that.
I love them.
Yeah, I like that. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening, and we will be talking to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.